It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Thursday the 23rd. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. The more big tech companies change, the more they sound the same. This week on the Yahoo earnings report call, Marissa Meyer was talking up Yahoo Search. Not a big surprise coming from an ex-Google executive. But guess what other giant tech company wants to eat Google's lunch? Amazon. The company announces earnings today after the bell. Ahead of that news, Nova Safa looks at what may be the online retailer's next big move.
Who would you say is Amazon's biggest competitor? eBay, perhaps?
If you traditionally think of Amazon as a retailer, be aware that they're growing a strong advertising business.
That's Colin Gillis, a technology analyst at BGC Partners. A strong advertising business, as in a competitor to Google. As of 2012, Amazon accounted for about a third of e-commerce searches.
Google values customers who are searching to purchase products.
Amazon has captured those customers through aggressive investment into its business. Gillis says whatever revenue Amazon announces, investors will likely not see a penny as Amazon reinvests into more growth.
The one thing I'd say to look for would be the stock market's reaction.
Brad Stone wrote about Amazon in his book, The Everything Store. He says that reaction is a potential vulnerability.
If investors start to waver, maybe at some point Amazon needs to start providing some returns to shareholders, and that means they can't invest as much in the new business.
Or into the battle with Google. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
This week, the Food and Drug Administration tackled a complicated and fast-changing topic, the hacking of medical devices to cause harm. Now, if you're starting to get the hacking fatigue, we are cut from the same cloth. But if you want to get an idea of this issue's importance, take a listen to our friend at Sophos, Chester Wisniewski, talking about the vulnerabilities of his own insulin pump.
With a good antenna, you could probably communicate with it from about a kilometer away. And it's got a six-digit number that's all that protects it from being remotely controlled. So if somebody actually wanted to kill me with my insulin pump, it would be trivial to do so in less than an hour.
Granted, Chester is an expert, but he says companies are starting to think about new challenges for short-distance device hacking and new solutions.
Most people think about things like encryption, although that's often not practical in something that you may implant in the body or has very limited power resources. So I think most vendors have been moving in the direction of disabling the ability to remotely control them or making sure that they're only able to communicate over extremely short distances so that you'd need to be physically kind of touching the person, and therefore to make those devices less likely to be tampered with.
That was Chester Wisniewski at the cybersecurity firm Sophos. This week, a man in Australia was convicted for trying to engage in sexual acts in front of a child online named Sweetie. But while Sweetie looked, talked, and acted like a 10-year-old Filipino girl, she wasn't, and she isn't. Here's some context.
What they don't know, I'm not real. I'm a computer model, made piece by piece.
Sweetie was built by a Dutch rights group that is trying to help fight the growing problem known as online sex tourism. And the people who control her movements in the darker corners of the internet think she can help to fight that problem. Amer Tour reported on this for the website The Verge. Amer, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Tell me about this chatbot, Sweetie. How does it work?
Sweetie was created by a Dutch charity called Tail des Hommes. And basically, it is a digitally rendered, very, very lifelike 10-year-old girl. They can control what she says, her movements, and she's used then to identify online sex offenders, especially men who target young underage girls on webcam chats. And to that extent, it's been largely successful.
Just so I'm clear here, Sweetie is an avatar, and there's someone controlling what Sweetie says and how she interacts with the person on the other end.
Yeah, that's correct. She was controlled by a team of researchers for this charity, Tier des Hommes, and they would just kind of pose as underage Filipino girls and wait for the men to come to her. And then if a conversation was initiated, then they would bring in Sweetie and kind of control what she says based on what the client or the chat person was saying.
What happened in this particular Australian case?
Well, in this case, a man, Scott Robert Hansen, was online and he was basically caught up in the sting operation that Tale des Hommes launched last year. And he basically approached Sweetie thinking that she was a 9-year-old girl and proceeded to ask her to perform sexual acts and then performed a sexual act in front of her. And he pleaded guilty to 3 counts in a Brisbane court. And so his case marks the first actual conviction of anybody who's been involved in this sting operation.
Now, it sounds like the organization that set this up was incredibly careful with the sort of rules of engagement. But what are the moral and legal issues involved with building something like this and having it interact with people?
Well, there is a large question looming over all of this, which is basically, can you truly convict someone for interacting with a non-real person? But in this case, in Australia, the judge presiding over the case said that basically his intent was to still perform sexual acts in front of an underage girl. And for her, that's what mattered. But I think in the longer term, and as this case unfolds in many different countries, that's the fundamental question that a lot of courts are going to have to ask themselves.
Amar Tour writes for The Verge and reported on this story. Amar, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Do you think using a digital avatar to fight online crime is a good idea, or is it more complicated than that? Tell us at facebook.com/marketplacetechreport. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.